Well, welcome to the latest edition of Techman Talks Dynamics. I've got Liz in joining me in the room today. James is joining us virtually, so hopefully all the video will be cut across right when it comes over. And Matt's enjoying a little bit of a well-earned break, so he's having some time off. Today's subject, we were talking about this internally over the last couple of days, and it's around the way that we've changed in terms of implementation services and adding functionality to the base product Business Central. What we're finding is customers need particular maybe industry functionality or something very specific to them. We used to go away and either write something for them or they would buy a big ISV product that we'll talk about in a moment. But now we're finding apps in Microsoft's App Source and working with third parties and picking, almost pick and mixing the functionality that people want, which sounds great, but we've also had some pushback from a new sales, and you get it from your customers, don't you?
This is what's kind of generated this discussion, is that there's two areas, isn't there? One is new business, where people are looking at the product and they're saying, well, if I've got to have all these extra apps, why don't I just buy something that appears to do everything? And then also for existing customers, where suddenly they've got invoices that used to be one line once a year, they're getting monthly invoices that are, 10, 15, 16 lines. But there are so many benefits to doing it this way.
Controversial here and say I think that's a symbol of success? Because I think that, you know, in the past, you try and buy one application that does it all, and actually, does what exactly? Because when you first buy into something like Business Central or an ERP application, I would venture to suggest the majority of customers don't actually know precisely what they want, and their needs and their wants evolve as they go along. In fact, you know, even when they've had it for 5 years, still this year they'll give us a call and they'll say, I need it to do this now, I've got this type of customer, I need to trade in this way, I mean, this is the area of inefficiency I want to address. And actually, what you know, to try and go and buy one application that does everything that you might ever want, how big and complex is that going to be? And how is that ever going to exist? So, you know, I think that the best analogy I've heard is the race car analogy. Okay, which is, you know, in a race car, typically a race team will go and get the components from different specialists. So they'll buy the suspension bits from a company that specializes in suspension. They'll buy maybe some engine bits, maybe some of the electronics and so on. And a race car typically is made up of components from 20, 30, 50, 200 different sources that are put together to build the fastest thing to go on a track. Now, that does add up over time, and you pick the level of components according to kind of how fast you want to go. But your alternative is you go and buy something, a pre-built race car, which I guess is a Ferrari, and you pay a lot of money to Ferrari. And, you know, I was reading the other day that Ferrari's margin per vehicle is 15 times the net number two on the list, because they can just charge through the nose for trying to have that premium at everything model. It's not to say Ferraris are bad, they've not got the very good cars, but you do pay for it and you're very restricted. You have like six models you can choose from and that's it. So I think, you know, we're going the race car analogy, where which bit do you need to go fast on? If you're on a track that's straight, you don't need to worry about suspension so much. If you're on a very twisty, narrow track, then it's acceleration and suspension and brakes that you probably need to spend a bit more
and
on.
I'd be too scared to press most of the buttons anyway, so I wouldn't want all of that.
I think I think the challenge around multiple apps is how well those apps work together. And that's why, you know, for me, the App Source kind of scenario where you just go on and find something that does that bit how you want. It's not that bit how it does that bit, it's how it joins up with the other bits. So, you know, an analogy is came across one the other day where the way that actually it came through the end of the sales order process and did the release actually bypassed all of the credit control functionality that was in a different app. Now, that's not right, because if the orders come in that way, that gets past credit control, whereas every other order going through gets credit checked and compared with the credit limit and individual release and all the rest of it. So I think there are That's where you can't just go and choose an app. You have to make sure it joins up well with the rest of what you've got and it fits into your overall app landscape. I think the other thing that is potentially the issue, and I know we spend a lot of time at Techman looking at, is kind of the provenance of the app supplier, because you want them, if it's a nice to have, but it's not critical, it doesn't really matter. But if it's going to be absolutely critical to your business process and your customers are going to suffer if it doesn't work, then you have to make sure that app supplier is there for the long term and will provide, the support and backup and be responsive in a way when there is an issue with it. And, you know, we've had some experience of that, Liz, you know, intercompany with our friends at Aberkeon. If Aberkeon hadn't responded when we needed them to, then we'd have had to go and find another app supplier that either did that out of the box, and then what's the next thing that, you know, we need to take back to them and say, how do you make this work? So I think responsiveness of the supplier, long-term longevity, stability of the supplier, how committed they are. These companies that publish a million
that's really
different
important.
Apps.
Once you've decided to go with something and it's going to be a core part of your business process, then absolutely you need to check all of that. But sure, part of the beauty of the apps is that you can try them out as well. So you can take things on, you don't have to pay it, fork out a load for a license in advance.
You probably get a lot of them off a trial license, try it out.
And, if you think it's going to be worthwhile for the business, then that's when you should check the provenance of the app, as you say. I think for customers, there is an element that a few years ago we were saying, have one system,
It is one system, isn't it? It's still essential. So your data is in one place.
Yeah, from a customer point of view, it's just changing that mindset that it's a bit like your phone, isn't it? So you go and you go and buy your phone from Apple, and then that might have a few standard apps on it for your calendar. But then if you go on an app store, there's God knows how many apps that you can get that offer calendar functions, and you choose the best one, and you might pay for it. And you might pay for it on a monthly basis. You might pay for it on an annual basis. You might get it a bit cheaper if you pay it on an annual basis. But, you know, when we go to your bank account, then all of a sudden you've got all these little subscriptions. So from a customer point of view, it's important that you understand what it's going to cost you and how it's going to be charged, because it's not standard. So some will charge per user. Some will charge per system, per install. Some will charge they might be transactional based. So for something like EDI or an integration, it can be almost token based. So it's the number of times that you call a certain service, and that's how it will be charged. And the difficulty with those is that in our case particularly, we can only estimate what your usage will be. So then there may be then a supplementary invoice or credit that kind of balances it out. So I think it's really important that somebody has track of all this, just like you would if it was your personal.
You do it on your TV, don't you? You suddenly got Netflix,
Disney Plus. Because everyone's a sucker, and then they sign up for the free ones and then forget to cancel them, and all of a sudden you're paying $12.99 a month for something that you're not watching, and it's not enough that you'd really notice it. But actually, would you be doing that for a year?
But that is one of the benefits, though. You some of those things you mentioned, James, obviously that causes concern for customers. What happens if that supplier doesn't do this in 2 years? What happens if, there's loads of scenarios, but also it does give you the flexibility. If you bought one huge product that did everything and you had to configure it and maintain it, if your business changes and you no longer need that, you can say, you know what, I'm turning that, I don't need that app anymore. So you've got the flexibility.
Yeah, but you may never need it in the first place.
I think apps have come in as more standardized functionality, and actually what they competed with, the majority of apps that we're installing these days competed with custom bespoke in the past that was done on top of Navision back in the day.
Yes, because Business Central is so generic, it is designed for any kind of business. It's no coincidence that a lot of the features have been around, that have been released, and there's been millions of new features released in the last few years, but a lot of them around finance, which is fairly generic, and the requirements for any type of industry are fairly standard. A journal's a journal, you know, a bank rec's a bank rec. It doesn't really matter whether what you sell and what you do, a bank rec is fairly standard, or the UI user interface and the personalization and things. They're kind of very generic to all businesses, whereas actually where you're looking at very specific requirements for particular types of businesses, that's where some of these more comprehensive apps can sit on top.
And I think even where it's standard, you know, so at the moment we've just got sustainability module coming into Business Central in the Wave 24 release, right? And Microsoft have done a standard sustainability ledger. And it's fairly, you know, it's there, it's okay, but you've got to post journals, you've got to do whatever you've got to do. And you've got Continua, which are, I think, one of the most high profile app suppliers. And a lot of our customers have Continua Capture for their purchase invoice processing and so on. Now, they've come out with the sustainability and looking at the feature set on the Continua one, it's way in advance. So I think, you know, can you survive with the basics? And all those customers who say, well, the application should do this, you know, it should, that's one of the most common kind of bits of feedback you get is, why doesn't it do X? Well, it does, but it's probably done that from an app supplier rather than necessarily from Microsoft, who, once they've released something, are kind of captured by it, because once somebody started using it the way it is, if they change it, they get people who then go, well, why have you made it more complicated where you've added all this extra functionality? So
this is how it used to be, though, wasn't it? With these huge ISV apps one of the apps that we used to sell, one of the ones that I used to do years ago, be it huge ISV apps that and you have to buy the whole lot whether you need it or not. So even if you only need two elements,
two or three things, well, Liz, and it did everything else. Yeah. Incredibly
badly. Oh my god, the amount of setup that you would have to do, even
the functionality you're never going to use.
Yeah, and you know, they would fall, the ISVs then would fall into the trap of, one customer has this requirement, let's build it into the standard product.
To everybody.
And therefore the product just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more complicated. So I think we moved away from that. But it and you can just look for best of breed for the areas that you really need. And ultimately, I think that will be a more cost-effective way for customers to build a solution as well.
Without doubt. And I think we've seen, you know, from a sales side, we sometimes get asked, well, if I look at a competitor's product and I look at their brochure or their website, they've got ticks in all the boxes. But then when they've actually used them or evaluated them, we've had the feedback, well, it's a mile wide, but it's an inch deep.
Exactly,
actually, the functionality is not there. It's a pure box-ticking exercise that says, yes, we do X, Y, and Z, but there's no substance to it. And if you need something a little bit off the order.
I mean, a lot of the time in our app catalogue, Liam, we've got three or four different apps that seemingly overlap and do the same area, you know, and actually it's picking out, because every business is unique out there. And if you want something that's right for you, which, you know, you should do, because that's that way efficiency lies, then in effect, do you need just the barest basics, in which case maybe standard Business Central will satisfy, or do you need Ultimate, because actually it's a really key area for your business that gives you major competitive advantage and lots of processing.
We have that, though, with Microsoft. You know, they're writing a product, Lisa, this, you know, for every business. It's a global product. They don't have the industry expertise in food, for example, that we work in as an organization. So, you know, those organizations that write apps for the food industry will have worked with, you know, countless food customers that need this, understand it, and then they've built that app that will, you know, work for, you know, that extra 20% you need on top of Business Central for your industry. They're building it, they understand the business, they work on with those companies all the time and will continue to improve it. And maybe so legislation brings that as well.
You know, knowing the program managers at Microsoft, I would contend if they spend 40 hours a year, 1 week a year, talking to actual end customers, I think that's probably about it. A lot of that, Liz, is you know, them delivering a, because everybody thinks Microsoft is the expert, right? So they're delivering a PowerPoint deck that's giving the Microsoft corporate line to that end customer, rather than the end customer saying, this is, you know, our life as a consulting organization is spent with a lot of our people in front, listening to the customer. And ultimately, it's that listening to the customer that brings back the good ideas, because if that's the challenge, okay, is this an idea that how might solve it? No, okay, well, we'll forget that one then. Oh yeah, that seems to work. We try it with the next customer and they go, that's a really good idea, we like that. And suddenly you get a quorum of those, and then you go, right, okay, we need to turn that into a product. And that you know, close customer feedback is what makes, I'm convinced, a good app, because actually it's the apps that you design and build and that you don't talk about afterwards and just go in and just work are the ones that are the best. The ones that you have to talk about a lot, generally some part of the design is compromised, and you know, at some point maybe you should think about doing something different starting again. But so I think it's really difficult for Microsoft to, you know, have a their business model is very different from ours. And that's why I think you know, the best ISVs spend an awful lot of time talking to end customers, people who actually use their product. I don't think that's Microsoft. They send a few surveys out, they look at a bit of telemetry, but the telemetry doesn't tell them why this is happening. It tells them what is happening. And it's slightly different.
I think the, you know, the other thing with that is that you'll find a lot of the ISVs are a lot more responsive, because they can be. You know, they've only got a small part of what they're doing to change. Microsoft will listen. So, you know, we've worked with ISVs, and you know, you're wearing a clever T-shirt today, which is an ISV. We have apps out in the App Store, so but we can listen to customers, and when somebody says something and has a great idea, we can respond to that, and within weeks or a couple of months. Absolutely.
Certainly with the ISVs, we can usually talk directly to the people that will make the decision. Yeah. So that's not quite so easy when it comes to Microsoft, is it?
And probably shouldn't be, should it? Because they've got a million voices telling them something on a massive product.
From a customer's perspective, when you're asking your ISVs to do something different, what you really need to do is you need to say, look, you know, is this going to apply to just me, or is it going to apply to, you know, can I see the majority of this organization's customers wanting this? And if you put it through that lens, you know, if it's just you, that's where a PTE on top of that ISV solution to add that last 2% is not the wrong thing to do. If you think every customer of that ISV is going to want that solution, you know, ask them why they haven't done that before. It's a really good question, because it may be they just haven't got to it, because we all have a development backlog. We all have a million suggestions in our backlog, as we call it, and there's the ones we know we have to do and have to get to be viable. And then there's the ones we'd like to do, but are going to take an awful long time, and kind of we've had to focus on the must-dos first. I think turn it around 180 degrees and understanding, if you can't talk to your ISV and you struggle to communicate with them, that's where I'd start going, do I really want to build my business dependency on this? Because I get very dubious about an ISV where I'm just expected to take it, use as is, and not have any sort of dialogue.
I mean, the other one we have when we're talking to new opportunities, people that aren't using Business Central at the moment, is they see these apps and they think they're all going to be random look and feel, the people jumping in of one app and then jumping back into Business Central. These apps are integrated within Business Central. The end user, a lot of the time, would not know that you've even, that there's something else that's not there, you know. No. There's a couple of areas where there's a different interface for a good reason, like graphical planning or something like that, where you're coming out, but most of the functionality is built into BC. It's baked in as far as the end user is. They wouldn't
the same,
know.
Yeah. They follow the same principles that the user would know.
Well, that goes back to what you said earlier about keeping your data in one place, Liz. And I think, you know, there are now, if you look through AppSource, there are quite a lot of organisations that have been attracted to Dynamics by what I would call the connect apps. So what they do is they connect into Business Central, actually suck all the data out to try and do the process in their separate system. I'd be very dubious about I'm much more dubious about that. If the data is ever going to want to need to feed back, then you need to be very sure what you're doing. And that's a completely different game, I think, or type of act with a Connect app. And lots of those have been attracted to Business Central by the user base and the number of customers using. They see it as a good market for them. Ask them how many customers they've got. That's always a killer question for an ISV, because if they've got 10, they might decide it's not worth it. If they've got hundreds or thousands, then chances are they're going to be committed to it long term, and that's what you want. You're going to commit to it. You need to make sure they're going to commit to it as well.
Yeah. So don't be put off by apps. It's a good thing.
I think it's a good thing, and I think just to summarise that, you're obviously right. It gives you the flexibility. You're only paying for what you need. You're not committed to it forever.
There's a term, months, or
there's a better option that comes along.
If something better comes along, then flip it.
Yeah, and and all these apps that are in AppSource, they have to maintain. So when the new release of Business Central comes out, there's a window to get your app up and running before that's actually going to land. So you're not going to get caught.
Just make sure. Part of your evaluation as an app, go and look at their change log of what they've done to that app over the last
couple of
years.
They've not changed anything in the last 12 months, and that's probably concerning. Take a look at the author. Make sure that you're choosing something that will continue to be developed and that will keep up. Make sure you understand how you're going to be charged for it and what it's ultimately going to cost. But absolutely don't be scared of it. It can be a really positive.
Yeah, and I think as a partner, we have a list of apps that we work with, we recommend to our customers, and we've built that relationship with a lot of the ISVs, so we'll help with that decision making.
And we'll cover off the questions like James brought up at the very beginning, which is to make sure that they all do work together, that that one doesn't bypass credit control functionality or whatever it might be.
I think if I tried to propose that we put an app on our app catalog, Liam, that our consulting team didn't rate, then it would never go in. Yeah. So there's no point. So the first thing in evaluation of an app for me is that it's got to do a good job of what it's supposed to do, of its objective. The next one is commercial viability. Is the publisher charging a sensible amount of money for what it delivers? Does it deliver more capability than the customer, than you're paying for? Is it cost effective? Because both of those, if you don't get past those, you're just wasting time.
Okay. All right, so there we go. Do your due diligence. Do your due diligence.
We're all
putting our teeth into that. But they're definitely worth it. So take a look at your apps, and it is the future. Microsoft designed the product this way as well, so it's not going to go away. But benefit from what it brings and go from there.
And I'll leave you on one final point, which is I think that because you've got a lot more people and a lot of individual companies looking at their specific area, they're going to develop way faster and way better than the big monolithic ERP app.
Which, let's face it, James, with the rate of updates for Business Central now would be virtually impossible to maintain.
And again, you haven't got to have as much custom development as well. Have a look if there's an established app out there doing it. Why would you pay your partner to write something purely for you that then also has to be maintained? Liz, James, thank you as always for your contribution. And thank you everyone who's tuned in today to watch or listen to the podcast. And we'll see you soon on another episode of Techman Talks Dynamics.